Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The legal battles over the statewide recount of Michigan's presidential election results have been raging. But at the same time, another story is clearly emerging, that of precincts that cannot be recounted because of Michigan's recount law, a law that harkens back to 1954. Mark Grebner is with Practical Political Consulting, based in East Lansing. He's a longtime political consultant, election observer in Michigan. He's also an incoming Ingham County commissioner, and he is a Democrat. Mark Grebner, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me on.
So in a nutshell, Michigan law says if the numbers on the seals recorded in the poll book election night don't match the number of ballots found today, that precinct isn't recountable. And if the number of ballots doesn't equal the number of names written in the poll book on election night, that precinct cannot be recounted. What do you make of Michigan's law?
All of Michigan election law is sort of an exploration in history. I think that the statute involved was recodified in 1954, but I think it actually dates to the 1870s. And this was a sensible way to run a recount back 150 years ago. You left out that if you transpose digits while writing down the number of the seal that clasps the ballot container together, then it's not recountable. Or if the seal that's used isn't of the right variety for the particular box you're using, you've used a seal taken from a different shelf, then it's not recountable. We have all sorts of rules like that, which assume that there are people in the courthouse at night stuffing extra ballots into the cracks of a ballot container.
Which possibly was a concern in the 1800s.
Right. It was a day long before security cameras, and every courthouse has huge old vaults which cost thousands and thousands of dollars 100 years ago, and which are now used for things like serving as a coffee station, since we don't actually have people breaking into courthouses anymore.
You have to ask yourself, if the numbers aren't matching, shouldn't that be a reason to count them?
You would think that. The result of Michigan law is that the worse that the precinct was run on election day, the more confused they were, the more ballots they lost track of, that is the precinct you can't count. But if the precinct was run perfectly, then you can recount them.
Yeah, the way you put that, if everything is copacetic, that's the ones you can count.
That's right. And again, just imagine a world where stuffing the ballot box was not just a vague idea. It was used because it was done routinely. It was a real threat that there would be people who would print up maybe a few hundred extra ballots and stuff them in. It's from the days before ballots were printed by the government. If you can imagine that each person brought a ballot to the election that he brought himself, right, and put it in front of the two election judges. It's just a different universe. But Michigan never gets around to fixing its law. And so all of our election laws date back to 100 or 150 years ago. So we end up with very inefficient elections.
So compare what we have to other states. How is it working elsewhere where they have gotten out of the 1800s?
Other states have other bizarre faults that Michigan has gotten past. So I don't want to make it sound like Michigan is alone in this. But it's just that this particular stupidity is a Michigan feature. So other states have realized that if they're off by one or two ballots, there needs to be some method for fixing that. And then you go ahead and recount the ballots. Michigan just didn't ever get around to fixing that particular aspect of its law.
So other states are more able to say, yeah, a tired worker who'd been on the job since 8 that morning and it's 11 at night maybe got a number wrong. So it's more able to account for worker errors?
Yes. The typical problem is actually something where somebody is voting, brings the ballot back out and says, I made a mistake. Can you give me a new ballot? Mm-hmm. So then they're issued a new ballot and the old one is struck off the list. But the question is, what do you do with the extra ballot and how do you get it to balance from then on? So now you've got one extra ballot and one fewer line in the poll book because you didn't sign the name in again. It's problems like that. And so they put it in an envelope, and they think they'll get to it later. And by 11 o'clock at night, when they're finally closing the precinct, they can't remember where they put that spoiled ballot. And that's when things fall apart.
What I think I'm hearing is when we have things like this happen, this is not a nefarious plot. This is often retirees who staff those precincts and who have been at it for long hours, and people are tired and people make mistakes.
Or to give you another example that's quite different but the same sort of innocent explanation, in Holt, apparently the people who were carrying the ballot containers around threw them into a storage area, and when they did, they cracked the seals, and three of the seals failed because the things were piled on top of each other. And so when they were brought out to be recounted, the seals were broken.
Mm.
Well, I guess that the janitor staff at Delhi Township Hall should be more careful. But, you know, nobody was trying to tamper with the election. They were just moving hundreds of pounds of ballots, and they were in a hurry.
So what, Mark Grebner, do you make of the Stein campaign's reason to do this recount, to make sure, as they say, that the integrity of the election wasn't compromised by hacking?
There's nothing in American law that requires political candidates to tell you what they're actually doing. We don't have any ability to question them under oath and prosecute them for lying to you. I think that was demonstrated by this last campaign. God only knows what the Stein campaign is really thinking or why they're doing this. I have no clue. I just find it really interesting because I'm getting precinct by precinct data of the accuracy of our vote counting system. And that's very interesting. So we're going to have maybe statewide data for every precinct, how accurately our equipment actually counts votes and what kinds of mistakes it makes.
What are you getting so far? What are you seeing as far as errors versus accuracy?
Michigan's vote counting system, which is due to be replaced, by the way, in the next 5 years, but our vote counting system is actually really bad. It makes errors in any given race in about 0.25% of all ballots. In other words, if you count 1,000 ballots, you're going to get 2 or 3 errors every precinct that has 1,000 ballots. We'll have 2 or 3 errors of some sort for any given race. And if you look at all the races on the ballot, maybe there are 30 different campaigns, that says that there's like a 10% chance that there's at least one mistake made in counting any given ballot. Well, if a bank ran at that rate, in other words, if you took in a $10,000 deposit and they were routinely off by $10 or $20 in crediting it to you, there'd be people fired in the bank. That just would be intolerable. If the 7-Eleven ran that sloppily and couldn't keep track of money that came in, all the clerks would be fired. But when we run elections, that kind of an error rate is just okay because I guess votes, you know, they don't really have to add up very well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the vote counting equipment makes routine mistakes. And we just don't have a system set up to resolve those mistakes in real time. In the end, even if the Stein recount doesn't change the winner, which I'm almost sure it won't, they're going to discover that there were 10,000 or 15,000 miscounted ballots in Michigan. And that won't be a surprise.
So does the fact, Mark, that we've discovered this, does it make this recount effort worth it to be able to say, okay, here's where things are going wrong, we need to fix this?
Well, anybody who says this was worth it is somebody who's not paying for it. So I can say it's worth it. I mean, I'm not paying for it. Neither is the Stein campaign for most of it. I'm sure that the state government and the counties don't think it's worth it at all. But from the wreckage that occurs, at least I'm going to enjoy picking through the data because I'm a data guy. And I'm going to go and publish a couple of little papers about the kinds of errors we see and the statistical nature of those errors.
Well, how would you change Michigan's recount law?
Well, I think I'd try to change all of Michigan election law. It's not just the recounts that are creaky. It's the whole thing is sort of crazy. For example, if a ballot is in doubt, the machine that's doing the counting ought to provide an image of that ballot, not including the candidates' names. So in other words, just the marking around the arrow or the bubble, and have a couple of judges say that's a vote or that's not a vote, and do that at election time so that that's done. And the people making the judgment don't know who they're benefiting. And that way, you'd have all of these issues resolved in a way that was completely non-controversial long before election night was over. You notice that, for example, there are never recounts in Canada. And that's because Canadian elections are conducted by neutral bureaucrats, not by political officials.
It's going to be very interesting to, once you've digested all of this and put these papers together, to see what ideas you come up with. I have to say this, Mark. I know there are people avidly following this recount, and they are hoping that in some way the results will somehow upend the results of Election Day, meaning Donald Trump's election would not stand when the Electoral College meets December 19th. What do you say about those hopes?
Hope springs eternal. The election is over, but it'll make them feel better. I suppose these are also people who are looking forward to miracle cures for cancer. Good luck with that. I hope it works out, and more importantly, I hope it makes them feel better in the meantime. But I would say there's a chance in 1,000 that there will be some error discovered in Michigan sufficient to overturn the result.
Yeah.
But even if it did, it wouldn't make any difference because the other states' electoral votes give Trump a majority. So this election is over.
In the end, what should be the main takeaway from this messy recount process?
That Michigan law is out of date. The reason it's so out of date is that the legislature is paralyzed and only acts for partisan reasons. Nobody's interested in fixing this. the two parties are only interested in changing election law to get some other advantage. So you notice there have been changes to the election law proposed, but none of them have anything to do with fixing real problems. They have to do with things like requiring photo ID, because that will disadvantage Democrats. I just point out, by the way, that the state of Michigan already has photographs of very nearly every single voter. And if there were really an issue, for example, about who somebody is, why would you rely on an ID that they bring in? Why not print a photograph of each voter onto the poll list, a little thumbnail-sized one, so that when the voter comes in, the election worker looks up and says, you've gained a little weight.
But it's you.
But why would we rely on the voter to bring ID, except that there's some chance that some voters won't have ID? All of our changes to the election law have nothing to do with reforming it. They have to do with playing political football and trying to score a goal. So anyway, election law, and in particular the recount law, is not likely to be changed. Poor Chris Thomas, who does the very best he can, if he had much hair, he would be pulling it out. He has almost given up, I think, ever getting reforms, fundamental deep reforms to the election law. Because every time he proposes something, whatever he proposes is twisted until it benefits one party or the other, and then they try to ram it through. But they don't ever fix the problems that he really has day-to-day running elections.
Well, it certainly is quite an interesting political saga. Mark Grebner, longtime political consultant. Mark, thank you for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you for having me.